Good afternoon, Indianapolis, Indiana. It is about 12:30 in the afternoon on March the 8th, 2016. I thought about doing a podcast about Donald Trump, but I really don't know that I have all my thoughts together on this yet. I honestly believed about a year ago that the powers that be would shove Bush and Clinton down our throats, probably because on a certain level, that's how much they respected us. But it looks like they might be a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, I do not believe on any level, and I'm sorry for being so contrarian about this, but I really don't believe Trump is acting in some type of rogue way. The simplest and most elegant proof of this is that he is still alive. I think that Trump, in all likelihood, even if he was elected president, is just another one of these guys who will tell us what we want to hear for 12 months. And then once month 13 arrives, that's when they decide to do their own thing. So come January, February of 2017, I think even if Trump wins, I don't think Americans have any idea what a President Trump would be like. And I think Americans who believe that it would be some type of mourning in America again, I mean, I suppose maybe if you spell it M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, but an actual rebirth of you know, free market capitalism because of Donald Trump, a guy who wants to claim that his crony associations in the past make him an expert at ending cronyism. How can people believe nonsense like that? How do people believe it? It'd be almost like, so I've got a serial killer, and he's killed lots of people, and he wants a job at the FBI now because he thinks he could help the FBI find serial killers. And what I would contend is, well, okay, maybe that's true, but why are we trusting this psychopath? Why do we believe he's telling us the truth? Why don't we recognize that it is much more likely, from a purely Markov perspective, that the serial killer goes out and kills again than actually helps the FBI? And the same is true of Donald Trump. It is way more likely that Donald Trump is still the crony businessman that he's always been than some emergent, populist, freedom-loving, Zion of liberty. It's not that I know this for certain. I just don't believe Donald Trump. I feel like it stretches credulity to believe that someone in his position would deliberately take such a stand against the powers that be, and not expect there to be some pretty horrific repercussions. I mean, keep in mind, this same system protected John Corzine, a man who defrauded people, investors, of billions of dollars, okay? This same system defended a crook like Corzine. Why would we suspect it wouldn't go after someone like Trump? But I don't really want to talk about Trump because that's not really the point of this. Trump is kind of related to the topic, but not really. I have an important decision I have to make, and it's one of the more important decisions I've had to make in a long time because it has to do with choosing paths. You know, which path do you go down? A or B, C, D, E, on and on. Which path do you choose? And in my professional life, until quite recently, the path I've chosen is essentially one of survival, which means if I can find work, I work. If I can't, I don't, and I try to, you know, make my way as best I can. I wouldn't say that I'm poor, and I wouldn't say that I'm rich. You know, by any measure, to call me middle class would be kind of scary and sad. By the same token, according to the current statistics, 9 out of 10 Americans make less than I do, you know, while I still have a job. And let's all remind ourselves how tenuous that can be. So I've had this decision, you know, do I continue on this path of just more or less survival, which means recognizing that most institutions, if not all, are fairly corrupt at this point. Even small businesses that still exist have to buy into a lot of corrupt practices. And so we live in essentially an almost inescapably corrupt economy. So the idea of like, I'm going to break out of the system. Well, I mean, it is theoretically possible, but you have to almost pretty much commit to becoming a criminal on some level because it is almost illegal now to escape the system. It's not quite illegal. They haven't gone that far yet, but I don't think it's going to be long before it will be illegal to not participate in the system in some fashion, which also means homelessness will be illegal. You know, they will now have a kind of legal justification for rounding up homeless people. Yes, I think that's not too far in the future if we keep going down this really ugly, tyrannical road that America seems hell-bent to be on. And listen, I don't give a fuck if Clinton gets elected or Trump gets elected. I just don't think it's very likely that the person who gets elected in 2016 is going to do anything different than the last 8 years or the 8 years before that on some basic qualitative level. It's going to be about neocon bullshit. It's going to be about wars, soft wars, hard wars, secret wars. It's going to be about drone murdering. It's going to be about all kinds of bank shenanigans. It's going to be about corruption. So it doesn't really matter who wins. I just don't give a shit. And that's the thing, though, is that when I think about this decision, should I focus on survival, like focus on just finding work? Or should I try to go down a different path? And that is choose, and I don't want to call it optimism, but choose a kind of pragmatic optimism, if such a thing is fucking possible at this point, and try to believe, hey, you know what? Maybe I can navigate these waters, and maybe when things do fall apart, and they're going to fall apart, things won't fall apart so bad. So the business I'm working for, the job I have, will be protected. That's a kind of a naive belief system. And if you believe the things I believe on a values level, if you care about people over things, then that value system is also part of the conflict, you know? Because I don't believe that a person can simply just get by surviving and make that a meaningful life. And that's where, frankly, many of my challenges lay these days, or lie, in the area of knowing to what extent my own principles may in fact impact having a quote-unquote full life, like dating, for example. I could choose one path, and that path would be easier for dating because people would say, oh, you know, you just, you know, got promoted, or you just got, you know, A, B, C, or D at work, and look at you, and you're such a professional. And I know I could go down that road, and I could fully commit. It's just... Then there's the other path, and that's the path of what I would call the closest thing to truth from my perspective. It's the path that recognizes that there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world right now, and I can't control that. I'm not going to be able to stop it. I won't have any power to control it. There's a lot of potential violence I do not control. There are potential wars that could get way out of control, and I definitely have zero impact on those. Most of human civilization seems hell-bent on throwing the throttle forward towards chaos, towards a massive social, political, economic calamity that the world has never seen. Quite literally, the values are so different, the numbers are so different, that to imagine the maelstrom that is right on the periphery, just out of reach, would be to imagine darkness itself. It's why I tell people, you have to think of it like a chasm or a discontinuity in math. You have to think of it as something that does not connect. Even though it looks like history is continuous, these are moments when history, in a very scary sense, has gaps. And sometimes these gaps are simply a question mark, which means history could go in any number of directions. Just like I was saying, I could make many choices. I could choose one path that is about survival and trying to make the most of life in an abnormal world, but with your eyes fully wide open and not asleep. And the other path, frankly, is one of more normalcy, less about survival, and frankly, putting on the rose-colored glasses. If I had children, that's a big if, I think I would have to put on the rose-colored glasses as a matter of principle. I'd hope I'd have the courage to do it. Because in a sense, when you have kids, you have to look out for them. And sometimes it even means supporting things. I think it's wrong, but sometimes it does on a certain level feel like it means supporting institutions that are flawed. Because again, you're looking out for your kids. You got to get them to that magic number. You got to get them to the age of majority, and then they can make their own decisions. I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. I don't have a girlfriend. And these things are not very likely at this point. In fact, as every year goes by, the likelihood that I will ever have another relationship decreases. It's not that I'm happy about it. It's not that I'm proud of it. It to me seems a matter of fact. And if I change my path and I say, hey, I'm going to be Mr. Optimism, although I don't know how the fuck I pull that out of my butt, but let's assume for the sake of argument that I could reach a state of delusion where I could see the world the way that, well, for example, President Obama sees the world, and that is as really, really prosperous and peaceful because of his presidency. I mean, I really despise the guy. I don't think he's the worst guy ever because Bush was terrible too. I don't support Democrats or Republicans. I think they're both really terrible parties that demonstrate very little real choice. But whatever, you know, I could embrace that. Yeah, Obama saved the world and everything's great. And look at the unemployment rate. And the truth is, in my field, and this is where things get really scary and really deceptive, in my field, it does seem like the unemployment rate is really low. On the other hand, I can also tell you that salaries, income levels, have not been going up for people in my field, for people at my level. In fact, they have been basically flattening. So while it might be true that I can still find a job, it is not true that the next job will be one where I make more money. In fact, it's way more likely that the next job is a job where I make less. So I can make a choice. I can choose to embrace a kind of quasi-normalcy and try to be pseudo-optimistic and try to be authentic in that way, which really wouldn't be authentic at all. It'd be a lie. Or I can accept who I am and keep muddling through. I don't like the muddling part, but I'm working on it. That is the challenge. That is the complex challenge of trying to live an aware life. You know, in many ways, more than being thoughtful or more than being reflective, people should be aware. And being aware means not accepting everything you're told is true and not accepting the premise that authority figures are by definition to be accepted and trusted and respected and not criticized or investigated or put into question. And if I'm really honest, one path is a path of obedience and slavery. It may feel like a really nice kind of slavery because, hey, if you have a decent enough income and you can have a decent enough life and you might be able to buy decent enough food, and I don't know how long that bullshit lasts, to tell you the truth. I just, when I left Seattle in 2014, it didn't seem like that bullshit could last much longer, and it's still going on. That little tech boom, that little Amazon, Microsoft, Google miracle, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it's still happening. But it's surprising. And I wonder to what extent it's also a lie. So, you know, as human beings, we have lots of paths. We have lots of choices. Certainly this election year, we're going to have some interesting choices. In my personal life, at this very moment, I have a kind of binary choice, almost binary. And I honestly don't know what the right choice is. A week ago, I thought I did. I thought I knew what the right choice was. I had this idea in my head that the right choice was to embrace a kind of quasi-optimistic normalcy, you know, to jump into the game 100% instead of 70%, to put in the full effort, to believe in the system, to make sure I rack up those taxes, because God knows drone murdering people is fucking expensive. And so is building prisons, and so is, you know, trying to start World War III. These are all expensive things, and the U.S. government needs the money. So I could embrace that path. On the other hand, I could continue to recognize that I am far less than perfect. I make more mistakes every day than I think I do the right thing. And yet somehow I've made it to the age of 46. And supposedly I am, you know, a successful person in some people's eyes. I don't know that people actually believe that, but I've been told that. So I'm going to pretend that they're actually being honest. And if all that's true, if I am a successful person, part of my success depends upon my choices and the willingness to make a choice. I think sometimes in the past I've made choices too quickly. And that's why I'm really pondering this one, because I just don't want to make the wrong choice. But on the other hand, I'm 46 years old, and my dad died when he was 68. So my expectations of the next 20 years of life are kind of miserable and barren. And so I don't see the upside. I don't see the plus side of pretending that I'm actually being told the truth. I don't see the upside in pretending that reality isn't reality. For me to be able to embrace this decision, to be the optimistic, you know, entrepreneurial, sort of pragmatic, but mostly rose-colored glasses dude who can jump into the game and pretend that, you know, he didn't see something a few weeks ago that looked, you know, kind of scary, or that he doesn't have the sense that maybe his business, the business he's in, won't exist in a few years. I have to believe that, and I just don't know if I believe it. Anyways, the long and the short of it is we all have choices. There may not be one right choice, and there may not be one right life. And so there's this kind of big pop psychology craze in the world today around mindfulness and what it means to be mindful, to sort of observe your thoughts and your feelings from a perspective, but to not judge them and to sort of just to not have those preconceived judgments. And I think that's all really cool and funny and probably a load of horseshit. But I do know awareness of one's surroundings, awareness of the world is important. It might be the difference between why a species survives extinction and why one doesn't. But awareness is the problem. It's like we have all kinds of people mindful of their stupidity at this point in American history. We have all kinds of people mindful of how even their terrible thoughts might be okay. But what we don't have is awareness. So when I say that you can make choices and we can all make choices, I would ask that you keep in mind that your choices are not my responsibility, okay? Your choices might impact me, and I worry sometimes about the choices Americans make, but you're ultimately responsible for the choices you make, good or bad, right or wrong. And the paths in front of us all, these are not simple things, and these are not all cogitations or aspects of the mind. There are aspects of these things that are quite real, quite material, quite concrete. Anywho, I don't know what choice I'm going to make, but good luck with your choices.